You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Game four in the books. Final score, Knicks fall, 109-101.
The Knicks led for, what, 33 seconds? Miami's just better.
I think of the same thing.
It's demoralizing.
Maybe they want it more. I don't know. We got to find a way to step up and make those plays if we want to keep the season alive.
Every time the Knicks had any momentum, it was snatched away immediately.
Down 3-1 now in this best of seven series.
I didn't think it was the case. Having watched the series for four full games, Miami is better.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, it's big 9 o'clock hour. We'll find out how you're feeling about this Knicks team right now. This portion of the show driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus and Hackensack, Old Bridge Point, Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. I mean, I think we've said about as much as there is to say about this. You're frustrated with the Knicks. You're angry with the Knicks. They've been out-efforted, which is really, really troublesome. I think a lot of people, most people think they've been out-coached. It's the better players have been better on Miami. This could have been a sweep. We are this far away from Miami sweeping the Knicks, and I'm very surprised that we sit here with that right now.
Well, I don't even think it's just the better players. I just think it's top to bottom.
I think it's everything, though.
Yeah, right. It's the contributions that Miami's getting. I mean, even Kyle Lowry, who looked like he was cooked this season, has now turned back into Kyle Lowry. And watching him play, and I give him tons of credit, but it's frustrating, man. I mean, he's flopping all over the place, getting
Lowry?
Lowry, yeah.
That's his game, yeah.
Drawing fouls, I mean, making big threes. And last night, it was what was it? The Knicks led for, what, 33 seconds? A combined 33 seconds?
Yeah, like we mentioned all show long, you never felt like they had a real chance to win this game.
Well, that's because every time it felt like they were going to make some kind of push, Miami had an answer for it.
Or they had a second chance, or a third chance, or they got an and one, or they got an open look at a three. It's just, I don't understand how, I guess, you say sometimes the sum of the parts.
That's exactly what it is.
That's what this, because yep. I don't understand how Max Strus and Gabe Vincent and Caleb Martin and Duncan Robinson and Kyle Lowry and Kevin Love, they have two guys on this team. They have two guys and then everybody
Jimmy and Bam,
else.
Yeah.
Jimmy's a star and so is Bam. And then they have everybody else. And the everybody else is killing you in this series.
The everybody else is. Yeah, this is what happens when you have a team that buys into what their coach is selling and they have a hell of a coach. Now, I mean, are the Knicks playing their best basketball? No. Does that have a lot to do with how Miami is playing? What Miami throws at them defensively? They're making it hard for Jalen Brunson. They're making it hard. And they're going to make the Knicks make their threes. And so far this series, they haven't. They shot better yesterday. Game three, they got embarrassed. So, I mean, let's kind of throw that one out. But there were plays to be made in the fourth quarter. I mean, Miami missed 12 of their first 15 shots, I think, in the fourth quarter.
But I think when Miami was 20%, right, they were 12 of 15. The Knicks were like 25%.
Yeah, fourth quarter, Miami was 27%. The Knicks were 33%.
So it's not like the Knicks did anything to really get themselves back into the game.
The third quarter is when the Knicks went off.
They got within two. And even so, when they got within two, I was like, they're not going to win the game. I never thought they were going to win that game.
Well, it's never great when you shoot almost 77% in a quarter and still get outscored. By a point.
That's bad.
It's not great.
And then that possession to start the fourth quarter is just like, that rips your soul out is what it does.
Oh, yeah. But it just giving up, I mean, not securing a defensive rebound when you think you got to stop.
That's what I'm saying.
Rips your soul out.
And how about the one, and you mentioned it before, where it goes over the backboard and the two guys, they touch it and they like bat it out of bounds?
Yeah, that was RJ and Grimes. Yeah, or it looked like Mitch had a dunk and he dribbles it out of bounds. He dribbles off his foot out of bounds.
Mitchell Robinson has had a terrible series.
He hasn't been great.
He's had a terrible series.
No, and his soundbite, or lack of soundbite, but whatever you read after the game was not great either.
I still have it ready to read, if you'd like.
Yeah, read it.
He says, this is Mitchell Robinson after the game last night, I got to figure it out. Quote, I got to have more energy, more urgency, and I have to try to get the job done. So you've played 80 regular season games. You won a playoff series. You're 1-1 going down to Miami. Now you're 2-1 heading into this game four, and you have the gall to say, I have to have more energy and more urgency. How can you put your head on the pillow at night if you're Mitchell Robinson?
You can't. You can't say that. I mean, that's the last thing you want to say right now, is that it was a lack of energy.
And you know what? It looks like it. He is playing just like that.
You got embarrassed in game three. I don't care if you sat and you looked at the pregame packet where it gives you all the stats about, you know, like we'd always have this packet before a game where it give you most recent stats or things you need to know, or if guys had milestones, and like you'd sit there before a game and maybe you'd breeze through it. You'd see who was hot or whatever else. Like even if you sat there and you read that packet or didn't read that packet and didn't know that if you went down 3-1, you were 0-14. Or that Miami, if they went up 3-1, right, was 14-0.
In the history of the Knicks franchise, your organization has never come back from this deficit.
Yeah, just the thought that us going down 3-1 is not really great for us getting through the series.
But do you don't have to be a Mensa member to realize that if you're down 3-1, you're in heaps of trouble.
It's the playoffs, though. You shouldn't be searching for reasons to get yourself up for a game. It should be tough to sleep. Like you get home, I mean, you get back from pregame meal, trying to pregame nap. You can't sleep because you're so excited. You get to the arena and you're jumping out of your skin because you see what time LeBron James showed up at the
on Sunday. Was it like 6 hours before the
last
game?
Last night.
Well, I didn't see last night.
Last night he was taking shots at 2 p.m.
for a 7 o'clock game.
5 hours early, getting shots.
Same thing Sunday.
Like I understand getting yourself right, but that's what it takes, man. That's how important this is.
But and it's also he's one dimensional too.
Yeah, he doesn't bring anything
like,
offensively.
You don't need to do any. All you have to do is bring energy and rebound and defend. All that takes is heart and effort. That's all it takes.
But you saw it against Cleveland, and yes, I mean we're heaping praise all over him. We know how important it is. How important those offensive rebounds from him are. And on top of that, how important in a series like this your defense is going to be. Secure that rebound and go. Play with some pace.
It's not
right?
working. It's
get
not working.
Court. Don't let Miami set up their defense.
No, it's not working. They get no easy points. Nothing. Everything's a
get
struggle.
Get some movement, too, please. Watch Miami's offense. Ball moves, players move. I watch Knicks offense. It's Jalen or Julius.
It's
here's the
stagnant.
Ball. Break it down and then kick it
try
out.
Try to get it
just
done.
Standing there in the same spot.
Right. Here is Tom Thibodeau. Miami's just winning the hustle plays in this series.
The hustle plays that Butler makes, Adebayo makes a ton of hustle plays, Martin makes a ton of hustle plays, Lowry makes a ton of hustle plays, right? And oftentimes that's the difference. You know, like if you can get a turnover into the open floor and now you get an easy bucket, buckets are hard to come by in this series.
Well, where are our guys? Where are our hustle play guys? Who are our hustle play guys? He just rattled off a whole...
They're all supposed to be hustle play guys.
Well, I mean, you're not that good that you don't have hustle play guys, or shouldn't.
It's what made them good, though. That's the most frustrating part.
What
it's
happened from last series to this series?
It's part of their identity.
Well, not now it's not.
Or you just have one team that's just doing a better job at it. I mean, that's
their culture down in Miami. That's what they do.
Well, of course, but it's supposed to be the Knicks culture, too. It's the reason why we all love Josh Hart, right? But for some reason in the series, one team is doing it better.
Very frustrating. We got a lot of phone calls. Let's get to some of them. Travis in Farmingdale. Hey, Travis, you're on 98.7.
Hey, how's it going?
You know, we're getting by.
To your Mitchell Robinson point, I feel like he's playing hurt. And he's just playing for another contract, and that's part of why
he's got a contract.
You know, struggling. Yeah, I know, but he needs to play to get have trade value or to be able to get another contract.
You think that there are teams out there looking at the way he's playing right now, saying, "Oh, we got to get Mitchell Robinson into the fold here"?
Absolutely not, and that's why he has to say he needs to put out more effort. That's the reason he's putting all this information out to say he needs to try harder and do all of these other things, and this isn't him. The big point I wanted to make is that Tibbs is getting out-coached. I think that if you look at the Warriors series, you could see the strategy that the Lakers were taking to top lock Steph and prevent him from getting the ball, and Kerr made adjustments. I don't think Tibbs has made any adjustments to play to any of the strengths of the players that he has. Everything is isolation basketball. And the pick and roll with Jalen Brunson and the ISO ball with Julius, that's not going to work. And then it's playing into the Heat's hands, and Spoelstra clearly wants the Knicks to shoot threes. So it's not that there's a reason RJ's open.
Of course.
And I don't think Tibbs is getting any strategy to find a way to get the ball anywhere else.
You don't get any, Travis, you don't get any easy points. You don't get anything in transition, right? You're not running up and down the court. Like, all the things that you're pretty good at during the regular season are non-existent right now. And it's a major problem. And we've had how many people call this morning and say that Tibbs has been out-coached in the series? And I'd have a hard time arguing that point right now.
This is what happens, though, in the playoffs, is that when you now all of a sudden have the opportunity to focus on the one team that you're playing, and you have a coach like Eric Spoelstra, who's one of the best in the NBA. I mean, you heard Kendrick Perkins talking about him earlier in the show.
I think he might be the best coach in basketball.
Okay, so if that's how you feel about it, and Tibbs is a really good coach, but not at that level, is that Spoelstra's going to find ways to make you uncomfortable, to get you off of what you do really well. And there's a lot of coaches that feel like, okay, this is what we have done well all season long, and this is how we're going to either have success or we're going to fail. And it also doesn't help that Jalen Brunson is not at 100%, and Julius Randle's not at 100%.
I still thought Brunson played well last night.
He was good. But you're asking him to do a lot, man. He played 44 minutes last night.
It's not sustainable.
And he took a beating.
And that's their goal, is to, you know what? At the end of the game, you're going to feel like you played in a battle. And if you can do it three more times, and you can beat us three more times, and good for you. But they're not going to. Carlos in Bayside. Hey, Carlos.
Hey, how's it going? I feel like the Knicks need to take a page out of the 90s Knicks, you know what I'm saying? They need a heart. They need heart. You know, they're getting out hustled on the court. They're getting out rebounded. I mean, it's ridiculous, you know? And, you know, I just feel like they're missing that X factor, that heart, you know? They're not, like the Patrick Ewing, the Charles Oakley, the Anthony Mason. We need something like that. Tibbs to sit them down.
But they had it, though. But here's the problem I have with what you're saying.
And it lasted a week.
You're right, they had it. It was what got them through the Cleveland series. That's what's so hard to understand about this series. It's almost like what happened with the Rangers. It's like you win two games on the road in New Jersey, and then all of a sudden, in a blink of an eye, the series completely shifts, and New Jersey looks like the better team.
Right, and you go away from what got you there.
But what was it, though? It was because it looked like New Jersey wanted it more.
They did.
It's hard to explain. Like, you're going into the game, like everyone on the floor wants it. It's just, are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to make the hustle plays like Tibbs calls them? And Miami right now is willing to do it, and they're executing, and the Knicks are not.
That is correct. Ralph in Queens. Good morning, Ralph.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm calling because I have an interesting take on it, because I feel like I played basketball my whole life. And I feel like I can see what's wrong. Like, I think Spoelstra gives a longer leash to his role players, like Strus, Gabe, Duncan. They shoot with the green light. You can see Obi coming. He's tight. 0-for-2, he's done. 4 minutes. McBride or any one of our role players, they play tight. We're not going to beat a team like Miami with just Julius and Randle. I mean, Julius and Brunson. And I feel like our biggest issue is Tibbs having a short leash on our role players who helped us get here. And that's really my biggest take on it. I think we need to bring more energy, more hustle, go for loose balls. But I think more importantly, our role players need to have confidence, and I don't think Tibbs give them that confidence to, like, just be
Is it Tibbs that doesn't give them the confidence, or they're just not playing well?
I think it could be a combination of the both. I mean, I think there probably is some of it where I know if I get off to a bad start, I'm probably going to be sitting on the bench. And there are, I mean, that's, I don't think he's completely wrong with that take. I think that Spo does a good job of empowering his players and giving them confidence.
Spo's better.
I mean, look what the Lakers did yesterday. Look, I mean, do you see who won the game for the Lakers in the fourth quarter yesterday?
Lonnie Walker. Anybody from where? Where did he go to college? Anybody?
I know this. He was drafted by the Spurs, right?
I think so.
I don't know.
I believe Miami, University of Miami. Did you know it?
No, I remember when he got drafted, though. He's a crazy athlete. No, I wouldn't have known that. Nope.
Well, then they have it.
Yeah, but to his point, though, I mean, just IQ hasn't been the same guy. Quentin Grimes hasn't been the same guy. Is that because, I mean, Tibbs stripped them of their confidence, or is just the moment's just too big for him? just the playoffs.
What did he do to strip them of their confidence?
He put Quentin Grimes right back in the starting lineup.
Is it the starting lineup? Quickly's gotten a lot of time.
Quentin Grimes played 42 minutes last night.
So I don't understand. How is that stripping a guy of confidence? And Grimes was not awful last night.
I think he means more like Obi. Obi played 6 minutes.
Obi was not good.
His couple shots were a little bit.
Just hoists up shots.
Yeah, UFOs, I think they call them.
Yeah, not good. Pete in the car. Good morning, Pete. You're on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for getting me back on. I don't know what happened before. I'll jump into my 2 points. They have the same basic premise. Everybody's talking about how Tibbs is getting out-coached and stuff like that. In professional sports, there's very few coaches that are X's and O's savants like Belichick is. At the end of the day, psychology is what matters for a coach. They got to manage personalities, and they got to get their team up and ready for the next game. And I think the thing that's getting lost with Tibbs and with a lot of coaches in the NBA is how you manage fouls. There's no way your team should be in foul trouble and not be fouling hard. Like tic-tac fouls, that kills you in a game. It changes your momentum. It changes the pace of the game. If you're going to get called for a foul, you got to foul someone hard. You got to make sure that the momentum is in your favor. Every time Miami hit a big bucket, the Knicks would come down. They'd hit a big bucket. And what would Miami do? They'd respond. You got to say to your guys, look, if we're going to get the momentum in our favor, we can't let them respond. Foul them, put them at the line, let them get two easy shots, 2 points. That's fine. It doesn't matter. You can't let them hit a big three. You can't let them dunk the ball. You got to manage the game like that. That's where I think Tibbs is. It's not an X's and O's thing. It's if our guys are going to be in foul trouble, make it count.
You're in foul trouble every game.
I didn't love the officiating last night. I'm not going to use it as an excuse, but I didn't like it.
And the Knicks commit all these fouls like 35 feet away from the basket, which is frustrating too.
Right, but I think some of it too, though, is, I mean, just the expectation when you're playing playoff basketball is going to be you're going to allow a little bit more. And you'll get the game like last night where they're not, and you look up and it seemed like everyone on the Knicks was in foul trouble.
Everyone. The only thing I'll say is, do you think the Knicks have lost these games because of the officiating?
No.
Okay. So then,
no, but I can say, I mean, both can be true. I don't think they lost the game because of the officiating. I don't think it's been great.
But if you're losing games because of officiating, now it becomes like worthy of discussion on the show, right? Like it's a real talking point. If you're losing and the officiating is not good and you'd lose regardless.
Yeah, but to the point that to the point where I put it in my notes, a couple, I'm like the Randall had a dunk that was nullified by that heart foul on Lowry that I didn't think was a good call. And then Martin goes down and hits a three. Like, I didn't think that was a good call. There was a call on Brunson the other day where on a three-point shot where he put his body in and they end up calling him for the foul because they said he initiated the contact.
Oh, I remember that one.
When he just closed down the space. I was like, come on, man. What are you doing?
Listen, I don't think the officiating is great. It's also, it's very hard to officiate these games.
Yeah, it's not easy by any means. I think the expectation for a lot of people, though, is when you get, especially when you have two physical teams going at it, then you're not going to, start making ticky-tack foul calls.
Right. Right. You got to be more physical.
But you got to live with it, though. But you can't control that. The stuff you control is getting, securing defensive rebounds, having an opportunity to dunk a basketball and not dribbling it off your foot. Or if there's a rebound and there's two Knicks standing next to each other and no one, not a Heat player around after a missed three is catch the ball.
And how many times did you turn it over at half court? There was one time early in the game they turned it over like half court. Heat go in 3-on-1. They missed the layup. Adebayo gets the rebound, dunks it in, and only Brunson got back. Do you remember that play? They made note of it. They're like, only one guy even hustled back to try to get back into the play last night.
Dude, I mean, there was the one play where, I mean, Love threw the long pass to Butler after Brunson made bucket, and he's the last one back. He's the first one back.
I mean, how many times you could get beaten with that long outlet pass from Kevin Love?
No, those are the things that the Knicks need to be doing.
Yes.
Because you don't want Miami to be able to set up their defense.
All right. RJ, I know you don't have a ton of time, but we obviously today is a lot of Knicks conversation. So why don't you go ahead and have at it?
Now. See ya!
Bang! Touchdown! Rebound score!
The you missed.
By the way.
Yes.
Just got a text from unsolicited, by the way. Andrew Gunling.
Unsolicited.
Yep, promise.
So he's not listening to the show?
I mean, he might be.
Okay, so then it wouldn't really be unsolicited.
I don't know if he is.
What did it say?
He texted me not nice things about Gary Sanchez.
Well, hey there.
He always got a kick out of making a bigger deal out of Gary Sanchez being able to frame pitches. It's not.
Why does he have any animosity towards Sanchez? He's not a Yankees fan.
No, it's very funny, but I would read it. I'll read it another time.
Okay.
I actually hate that you have done this.
So, you've been talking about all morning. Knicks lose last night, 3-1 series hole. The numbers are not on the Knicks side whatsoever. Rick mentioned this earlier. Miami 14-0 all-time when leading 3-1 in a best-of-7. The Knicks 0-14 in that same situation. Miami, with their win yesterday, became only the fourth number 8 seed ever to win at least 7 playoff games in a single postseason in this format. And it looks like they're got a good chance to win some more.
Yeah, they do.
The Lakers, they took a 3-1 series lead over the defending champion Warriors, who will face elimination, will Golden State in Game 5. Lonnie Walker, have yourself a fourth quarter. 15 points, becoming the first Laker with 15 or more in a fourth quarter of a playoff game since Kobe did it 26 years ago to the day. Lakers one win from getting back to the Western Conference Finals.
Amazing. Can the Lakers win the whole thing?
You know who was doing some tweeting and some chirping yesterday? Rick's buddy, Tidy Butler.
Oh, yeah. He loves the Lakers.
About a wager he put down when I believe the Lakers were plus 2,100 to come out of the West months ago.
Come out of the West?
He quote tweeted his own tweet.
What did he put down? How much?
I'm not sure.
Knowing him, not much.
No.
Pair of karate shoes.
Nikola Jokic fined $25,000 for his... shall we call it
for
a...
For what?
A tussle?
You know what stop it was for. It.
I mean,
for
what? You want a tussle?
What if that was just some random fan?
That wasn't was holding so... onto the ball.
He had a Phoenix Sun in his lap.
He wouldn't give the ball back.
He being Suns owner Matt Ishbia.
Right.
To his credit, I guess, tweeted he did not want Jokic just before it happened. Suspended or fined.
He wouldn't want him suspended.
Of course not.
Why?
Greeny actually was talking about that he could see him getting suspended.
For what?
For elbowing him in the chest.
Oh, please.
If that was just a random fan and he elbowed him in the chest, you don't think that would have been a bigger deal?
I thought Ishbia should have been fined over Jokic.
For what?
For
flopping?
For not allowing the game to continue. Give the ball back.
You know,
You're not supposed to, as a player, go running into the stands to try to rip the ball away from the fan,
please.
Are you?
I heard Chris Candy say this yesterday, filling in on Greeny. Ishbia actually gave his team a little bit of an advantage on the floor. If Jokic's reason checks out, he was trying to get the ball back in, get it to the ref in play to have a 5-on-4 advantage. Ishbia's trying to let his guy get up.
And they got a point out of it. They got a technical foul.
Great. Yeah.
Good. You want some of this?
You're nervous. You're nervous.
I'm terrified.
You should be. Yankees homered 4 times yesterday. Even Aaron Hicks got one. Good for Aaron Hicks. They avoided falling back to 500 for the second time in a week. Hicks doubled his season RBI total. So that's something. His 7th RBI, first homer since September 23rd of last year. Second extra base hit this year. Nestor Cortez, better than last time around, which was his worst start as a Yankee. 2 runs, 6 hits, and 5-plus. Yankees win for the 4th time in 10 games. They try to turn it around. They will get Aaron Judge back today.
Congratulations.
Mets back in action against the Reds. That's not something you missed, but if you haven't seen it this morning, Gary Sanchez... minor league deal with the Mets.
They'll send him to AAA Syracuse.
Syracuse.
Yes.
Vegas Golden Knights beat the Oilers 5-1 and in the process take a 2-1 series lead. Devils back in action tonight.
Lost their goalie, by the way.
Yeah, not good. A lot of goalie injuries in these playoffs.
Aiden Hill was great, though.
Devils back in action tonight against the Canes. Carolina up 2-1. The Chicago Blackhawks win the NHL draft lottery. They bump up a couple of spots and get the right to select Connor Bedard. The Ducks will pick 2, the Blue Jackets 3. By the way, 23 years ago, the Islanders moved up from 5-1 in 2000. Changed all of our futures.
Oh, they really did, didn't they?
Didn't we have 1 and 5?
Because
we took Rafi Torres that draft, too, at 5.
But so they didn't move up from 5 to 1.
But I guess the pick that won was from 5.
What?
It's all wheels in motion.
Oh,
I think it was the number.
Things are happening.
The draft lottery is different because now you can only move up 10 spots in the NHL. Back then, follow along. So, NFL regular season schedule stamp and approve will be released Thursday.
Yes.
Touched on some of this earlier, but if you missed it, there will be a Black Friday football game for the first time ever. We did not talk about this earlier. Games no longer, I guess, belong to networks. All games are free agents. So I guess you'll see more NFC on CBS and AFC on Fox, and
I like it.
Teams can be on Thursday Night Football.
You know what
more
I've been hearing?
Once. Yeah, what have you been hearing?
I've been hearing Giants Jets opening week. Mm-hmm. Not likely to happen.
Why?
Ooh.
That's what I've been hearing.
Why?
I don't know why.
What did you hear from?
How could it not happen?
Tell me your source.
No, I will not.
Tell me your name.
I will not.
Name.
Tell me your source.
No, I will not.
Betson said it.
Yes, Betson told me. He called me last night. He's like, Dave. I was like, Betson? He told me.
And not all teams guaranteed to have a primetime spot. And we end on this, a truly troubling note. So you remember the college baseball scandal from last week?
Yes,
the Alabama. You got another one in Iowa now, right?
Well, the whole state of Iowa is under investigation. Iowa and Iowa State. So we start with Iowa. They have 26 athletes across five sports. Baseball, men's track and field.
Who could have seen this ever coming down the road?
Wrestling.
And you can bet on college wrestling?
Well, these last two are even more troubling. Men's basketball and football.
Oh, God.
And one full-time employee of the athletic department, all suspected of wagering on sports in violation of rules. In addition, Iowa State acknowledged, this is an acknowledgement, not an investigation, some of 15 athletes across three sports, track and field, wrestling, and Iowa State football, also suspected of violating gambling rules.
Great.
Not good.
No.
That's it.
It seemed inevitable, though, didn't it?
Of course.
Yeah, well, now, if it was, now, counter move.
You make it legal all over the place. Everyone can wager, and now they're wagering, and you're just up in arms over the fact that people are taking advantage of what you've set the whole thing up to be able to do. It's terrible.
What do you, I mean, but that's my biggest problem with the whole thing, though. What do you, I mean, the coach of the baseball team. Like, how much are you betting?
It's got to be huge money.
To risk your job.
It's got to be. They probably got into some kind of syndicate, right?
Or even the NFL players. Like, what do you, I mean.
I don't think the NFL players bet much money. I think, like, the college coach had to.
I think the NFL players, that's just
like, just for fun.
Yeah, it's just for fun. I think the college guy's trying to, like, make a real score.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Yankees, good solid win last night. Although anything other than a good solid win would have been a disaster.
It would not have been great, no. No, I mean, these are games you have to win.
Have to win.
And you get Judge back. I mean, you have Judge back today.
Clark on the mound tonight.
Schmitty.
Burrito on the mound tomorrow night. Win both these games and let's set up a four-game set against Tampa. Mets, I got to tell you, man, I am very anxious about the Mets tonight. I know it's opening night for you, so congratulations for you with that. But really, I mean, you got to win this game. And not only do you have to win this game, you need Max Scherzer to look something like Max Scherzer. This is the Cincinnati Reds, for God's sakes.
It's the Cincinnati Reds, but more importantly, this is, I don't care who the team was going to be, this is all about Max Scherzer.
Correct.
And now you read today that he's battling through an injury and he wants to manage it to make sure he doesn't end up on the IL, which, I mean, is scary because, I mean, we're in May. This is a team that has spent the most money in baseball to try to win a championship. And the big reason why they feel like they could win a championship is because of Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander at the top of their rotation. And if he's dealing with this in May, coming off the last couple of years where he's broken down and not been good at the end of the season.
Right.
Like, I mean, do you love your chances that he's going to be right at the end of the season now?
I don't know how you love your chances at all right now.
Like, he needs to squash this whole he's done narrative.
You know, I thought it was premature, and I thought Grassi was really premature with it, and I didn't like it. And the more you see things now, the more you think that, I mean, hopefully he's not, but it feels like you're trending in that direction. So tonight, go out. You're right. Squash it. Go out there, give me 7 innings, a 1-run ball, strike out 7 guys, walk 1, and just be terrific. So that all we could do the show tomorrow, and that this is a non-issue, a non-topic.
Yeah, because all he did in his last start was feed into that narrative.
And he fed it to the narrative of is his cheating, you know, pushing him over the top.
Well, is he now resorted to trying to find something extra because he feels like he's done?
And how can you argue it?
Well, you can't now, so it's up to him tonight. To go out and do what he's supposed to do, what he's being paid to do.
And this is a good landing spot, but you know what else is a good landing spot? Detroit was a good landing spot.
But, I mean, this is, again, I mean, this has been your lineup, which should cause you some concern also. But your rotation now is set, for the most part. I mean, the two guys that you're paying, you know, $86 million to, Scherzer will pitch tonight.
Well, I don't worry about Verlander.
Verlander will pitch Wednesday.
I'm not worried about him.
No, but this is the first time you've seen it.
Where it's back Scherzer, to back with these
Verlander,
guys, right?
And then you're going to get Senga.
Senga on Friday. He was great. Saturday, not good. Sunday was awful. Lucchese, I mean, that whole thing was a disaster. 3 days rest, right? But you come back and you got it. Good Scherzer, amazingly, at least in my mind, is more important than even winning this game tonight.
Yes.
I need, if he doesn't pitch well, if I'm not going to get Max Scherzer every fifth day that looks like he's what I'm used to getting from him, I'm screwed.
You're in big trouble. With all the money that you spent, yeah, you're in big trouble. Yeah, it's an epic. I mean, this is a disaster.
And then you start to think about, does he opt in?
I hope not.
But why would he not? You think he's going to get $43 million when he stinks from another team?
No.
Oh, exactly that. Of course not. And you know what? It's now time. It's now time for, and I know Marte's hurt. But I don't know if he goes on the IL or not, but it's now time for Lindor and Nimmo and Alonso. It's time. I mean, these are your guys. You brought back the same team. It's time for these guys to wake up. And now what's going to happen with the Mets and the Yankees, Rick, is that the Rangers are done, the Knicks are on the verge of being done, and everybody's attention is going to now fall directly on the shoulders of the local baseball teams. It is now time.
They've had some protection, but that protection is going to be gone.
It's done, yep. Is what it is.
I don't disagree with you. And this is, I mean, this is, I know it's May 9th, and we got a long way to go. I mean, you played 35 games, but, I mean, Scherzer's start tonight is huge.
It's huge. And again, I don't even look at this division as something you can realistically win.
Atlanta's better.
But Atlanta's better. You're 7 games out. That's a big number.
I know it's a big number. But more importantly, it's you saw what Philly did last season. Would I like to win the division? Absolutely. I didn't even pick the Mets to win the division. It's making sure Max Scherzer is going to be someone that you can count on. Like you said, I don't know. I don't really worry about Verlander.
I don't.
But still, I mean, this is you ran back the same lineup. You know, Marte has not been good to start the season, and you're really relying on the top of that order.
Although the weird thing is that Beatty and Alvarez are starting to, it feels like they're starting to come around.
Figure it out.
And you're still not winning games.
Well, because the strength of your team was supposed to be your starting pitching, and it hasn't been.
It's been bad. Saturday was bad. Sunday was bad. It's big tonight for Scherzer. I mean,
it's a big
so
one.
Scherzer goes out. And I don't want to feed into the narrative, but if Scherzer goes out and gives you a bad performance tonight, you panic?
Yeah, I think you feel like it's slipping away. What's the move?
What could the move be unless you put him back on the IL?
I don't mean that. I mean, what's the move to make you better, to give you a chance?
Unless you open up the farm system and start to trade guys for legitimate pieces. Right? Do you make Vientos available?
Yeah, but who's the legitimate piece that's going to be at the level Max Scherzer is supposed to be at?
No one is at the level where Scherzer can be.
Right.
But I'm saying, like, is tonight the night that if he's not good, all of a sudden now you'll sound the cannons, now it's panic?
I think you already have questions. The fact that you have to read today that he's battling through an injury already, and you saw what happened last season.
But he's already been hurt this year.
I understand what you're saying, and you're not wrong. But I think my point is that at the end of last season, when you had things lined up, and I know I've said this to you a couple different times, it didn't work. And now you have the same lineup, And you have, we're talking about Scherzer, same pitcher, and hopefully, you know, Verlander in that spot will be great. But still, like, if Scherzer, like, Scherzer needs to be great. Just, and you know, just average Max Scherzer is not good enough.
Correct.
Just average Justin Verlander is not good enough. Especially with the injury to Quintana. And, like, you're talking about a team that spent all this money and had to take Joey Lucchese out of a start because they didn't have someone to start on Sunday.
It's amazing. I mean, do you know how much they're spending more money than anybody in baseball? And it's like, well, what do we do? Well, Sunday, let's get Lucchese out of the game now because we got to get him on 3 days rest. How about this quote from Scherzer? Trying like hell to stay off the IL. Does that impart that you have confidence that he's going to be good tonight?
No, tonight. I mean, it makes me feel like at some point he's going to end up on the IL.
Of course it does. Of course it does.
Like, the reason why I'm not good is because it's not that I'm done, it's that I'm fighting through something. Because I'm a warrior. Any way you slice it, it's not good.
Nothing is good.
Unless he pitches well.
So if he's hurt and he pitches and he gets bombed, it's bad. If he goes on the IL and he can't pitch, it's bad. You're right. The only way this thing works is if he goes out there, pitches well tonight, and the Mets find their way to a win. And then tomorrow, you're excited about it.
Yeah, you're excited, but you still have, I mean, you still, like, I don't know how you feel about it, but I still have, I mean, real doubts about whether this team is going to be
tremendous doubts.
Good enough.
Tremendous doubts. If you spend the most money in baseball and can't compete for a wild card spot in the National League, Billy Epler, he's got to be gone.
There's got to be a sense of urgency from him. More than there was last year at the deadline.
You know, we laughed about Brody Van Wagenen and how bad he was. And, I mean, what has Billy Epler done that you look at and you hang your hat on now?
Nothing yet.
Nothing. This is years now, though.
No. And, I mean, and he's had the luxury. Like, I get what they're, I mean, you understand what they're trying to do, which is, you know, try to build up their farm system, not start trading guys away and use their biggest strength, which is the money, which is smart. I mean, I think that's the way you should do it, but it's, you know, you got to spend, just like the Yankees, you got to spend the money the right way. Everyone wanted Nimmo back. Everyone wanted McNeil back. Like, yeah. We all wanted that. And everyone was excited when they got Justin Verlander.
But it's the same thing, though. You ran it back the same exact team, yet older, and thought it was going to be better. Why would it be better?
I don't know. Because those guys that Max Scherzer, for some reason, would now at 39, well, soon to be 39, just be healthier?
It doesn't make sense,
though. Doesn't make any sense.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Flying high in April, shot down in May.
Yeah. That's life. There's nothing more. This is what it is. This is as good as it gets.
Listen, we want a playoff series.
I know.
We still got one game left.
I know.
We got the Mets and the Yankees to look forward to.
Yeah.
Got to see the NFL schedule release on Thursday.
That's exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. My team's gonna smash yours.
We're gonna kick you right in the ass.
Okay, that's fine.
I hope to God we pummel you. You know what? I'm not gonna avoid it anymore. I'm gonna get right in your face. Yeah. I'm gonna go nose to nose with you. You wanna go? Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. I'm looking forward to it.
We'll kill you.
I'm not gonna be like these two wimps.
And Santiago, you gotta go right at him too. Enough of letting him bully everybody on the show. All right, all of a sudden he gets a decrepit old quarterback, and all of a sudden now he thinks that his team can compete with our teams.
I don't think anyone's letting him bully. Not yet, anyway.
Stop it.
Why are you going to call him decrepit? He looks great. You saw him.
He looks nice.
Yeah. Still spins the hell out of it.
Hope he's decrepit. I still have nightmares about him.
You should. You should. Yeah.
What was the one throw he made, like the tight end caught it when dangling out of bounds? Remember that?
That was the playoff game.
Was it Jared Cook?
Yes.
It was Jared Cook.
And then Crosby came in and like popped him a 57-yarder?
And everyone knew it was going to be good. When Dallas had scored that tying field goal, I immediately said they left him too much time.
Oh, no. What is your most painful Cowboys memory ever?
Do you know the answer to that question?
No, I actually don't.
There's only two options.
One of them's got to be a Niners championship game.
The 95, yeah, January 95, that
right
one. And the other one is when they lost to the Giants.
That was the best.
That was the worst.
Was that good? Do you think if we were at the station together at that time, we would have fought?
Probably. I was much angrier in those times.
Angrier than now?
Much, much
what's
angrier.
What's your worst Jets memory?
At what point did I not say that he stunk?
I got him there.
Worst Jets memory?
Yeah.
Butt fumble wasn't great.
Yeah, but the game was over.
Yeah. I would say the one that bothers me the most just now, like as I'm sitting here thinking about it, is that week, was the week 17 game.
Against the Bills?
Yeah.
Up in Buffalo where they just didn't show up?
Well, but what aggravated me was that I recalled the next day and was like, oh, I was at the game and I could tell while they were warming up that the Jets just weren't that
nothing.
Into it.
It was like, 2015, I think, right?
Like, what do you mean they're not into it?
Doing his Richard of Manhattan impression?
Like, no, he was actually at the game. He went. He traveled to Buffalo.
He travels all over the place.
And then they just weren't ready. You win that game, you're in the playoffs. What do you mean you're not ready?
Well, look at
Buffalo was playing for nothing.
Look at the Knicks last night. I mean, Mitchell Robinson.
But they played. I mean, they played
hard.
Right,
but Mitchell Robinson says they got to really start to bring some effort here.
No, he was looking for his energy.
At what point, by the way, does Bob Huggins get fired from West Virginia? Hmm. I mean, what is he doing?
I have no idea.
First of all, if you have these awful thoughts, it's one thing. But now you're taking them and spouting them on live radio? What? I mean, he's not a stupid man, is he?
It was pretty stupid.
It was a stupid thing to do.
Yeah.
How do you keep him employed, though?
Stupid is as stupid does.
Thank you, Forrest.
You're welcome.
But no, seriously, how do you keep him employed?
I don't know if you can.
How can you turn to your student body and say, we're gonna keep this guy employed?
I don't know if you can. Oh, they're doing that. I mean, what are they doing? An internal review
right
now?
Yeah. But so you finished the review. You're like, all right, we've decided it makes sense to keep them.
Well, no. I mean, it depends on what they want to do. Is this like, we're going to do an internal review and see what the backlash looks like and what kind of pressure we're getting, and then we'll decide whether or not we're going to keep
him? So it's just, what is it in the court of public opinion? Like, do people want him out or do they not?
Yeah, or whoever's, I mean, boosters at the school, like people that are donating money. Like, I mean, I'm sure all that stuff is important.
I'm sure it is, but I don't know how you could bring him back. I really don't.
It right now at the moment, it feels like it would be hard to bring him back. But again, like, I don't know what's fully involved in the decision making.
Let's go to Nelson and Linden. Good morning, Nelson. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
What's up, Dave? What's up, Rick? My take was, I'm tired of everybody beating up on Coach Tibbs. Listen, he did his job. He got him there. So the fact that everybody's like, well, he's not making the adjustments, and like you guys keep saying, with who? There's not a player out there that is not doing what they're supposed to. They're just not good enough. It's that simple. I would hope that they have some more talent coming down, or there's some disgruntled player that end up on the Knicks. But there's no more adjustments to be made. That's it. He's doing what he can with the pieces he has. I'm sorry. There's just no other well they can go to draw from. And when they are getting open looks, they're not hitting the shots. So he has to go out there and shoot the ball for them? No, you can't do that. He's doing his part. Leave him alone. He got him there.
So that's it. You get him there, and once you get him there, now you wash your hands of it, and you're not responsible for getting the team prepared to play well?
You're responsible, but you can't want it more than they do. They have to want it just as much as everyone else does. And the fact is that in New York, we all want it really bad, and they're not there. They just can't give it to us. They don't have the talent. It's not because, you know, we are not expecting them to win. We would like for them to win. But the fact that they got this far is so, you know, shocking to some people. And people are just going to keep chipping away. Like, well, we can get this. And, oh, well, we can make it to the final. We win the final. Oh, well, we can win the championship. So there's steps to it, but they're just not at that next step. And I give it to the Knicks front office. They promised a result, and they've gotten better as they promised. People want it fast because everybody, again, microwave society, everybody wants it right now. So I get that, and I appreciate that. I'm a lifelong Knicks fan, and stopped watching for almost 15 years because they were just so bad. And I'm watching again, so that's a step in the right direction.
There's no doubt that they're heading in the right direction, right? You'd be foolish to say otherwise. But you can be disappointed at this series.
Yeah, you can be disappointed, but I think that's partly our own fault, though. I think because, I mean, when you looked at the second round and the potential of the two teams that you would play, you were happy that it was Miami and not Milwaukee.
I'd say the same thing again.
Yeah, of course you would, but underestimating how good the Heat actually were.
Fair enough.
And how well-coached they were. I think we all knew they were well-coached, but, I mean, this is a team that was in the NBA, I mean, the Eastern Conference Finals, Game 7 last year. So they got the experience on top of the great coaching and Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo.
The whole culture down there is just annoying.
Okay, but to his point, though, it's the culture you're trying to build here in New York.
Of course it is.
You'd kill for that here in New York.
But they have it there. We don't have it here yet.
We're trying. To his point, though, you go back to game three. I mean, first half of that game in game three, the Knicks were 6-23 on uncontested field goals, 2-19 on open three-point attempts. Like, what else do you want? You can say that you're not a three-point shooting team, but if I'm giving you open looks.
Wide open threes.
Or uncontested shots.
If you're Quentin Grimes or Quickley or R.J. Barrett or Obi Toppin or Brunson, you have to hit open looks. If you can't hit open, wide open three-point looks, and you know what? You don't deserve to win. And then you couple in the fact you're not winning the battle on the glass.
Which has been your calling card. Which has been, what you've done all season long.
Correct. But you know what? Brunson, I think, has been good.
Brunson's been good. I mean, Julius Randle's been okay. I mean, he's still turning the ball over too many. 6 turnovers last night. It's too many turnovers.
He has the ball. He picks up these
Mitchell
charges.
Robinson hasn't been good.
He's been bad. Quickley's been bad.
Grimes. All Josh Hart wasn't very good last night.
All of them have been subpar. Lewis in North Brunswick. Good morning, Lou.
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Good morning.
Good morning.
Man, I just took the press. You know, it was another bad game. But I was telling RJ, I think we just need a shooter. We got to get a guy that can go get us a bucket.
Oh, what happened? Yes, you need...
You need guys to make shots. You need guys that can make shots.
I think Strus is a free agent.
He had a good game for them last night.
He's a good player. I think he was a free... I think he was an unsigned player out of the ball.
He drew the foul, too. They got he fouled Randall last night. It was him that took the charge.
Yeah, no, he's a frustrating kind of player. All right, Raymond, 3 stars.
Today's 3 stars. Number 3.
Yesterday, not really a great day, New York sports overall. But somebody did have a good day, and we've been trashing him all year, so we may as well give him the flowers while we can. He may not even be a Yankee at the end of the day. How about Aaron Hicks? How'd that first home run feel?
Felt amazing. To be able to get me one and get on the board, feels good.
Congratulations, Aaron Hicks.
Number 2.
The Knicks' loss may have changed Dave for the worse. No fruit this morning. He was in a mood. I don't know. He's blaming it on the parking, but we'll see. We'll see where things stand tomorrow.
My intent right now is to bring in fresh, beautiful fruit tomorrow morning.
We shall see.
Number 1.
One place where you haven't changed is you brought up the old wedding story about the friend who got married on a football Sunday.
Right.
You basically cursed the marriage. It ended the divorce. You're proud of that.
I'm not proud of it.
You're definitely proud of it. And you even went so far as to say if somebody was on their deathbed, you'd still find a way to weasel in watching a football game. So listen, you'll never change there. You're consistent, and that is something to be proud of.
And I'll make another statement, too. If I'm on my deathbed, you guys go on a football Sunday, don't visit me.
Nope.
You go right on.
It's what he would want.
Set your fantasy lineups.
Cut up right next to you.
You know, make your picks, and you just avoid me like the plague.
Put the pillow right on your head.
Thanks, pal. It's Rule 76.
No excuses, Blanket Champion. It's DPH Rotherberg and
the Knicks.
Oh, nice. 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.